I don't know if you heard, I'm not at Schaefer anymore.
Yeah, I did hear that. Did you quit?
Not exactly. Some parents got a kid from Sean Casey's year, I think, to say some things about me. Although why anybody would have anything other than peaches and cream to say about me is a mystery. That's a good laugh, right?
I'm sorry.
No, listen, hey,
I'm sorry.
I get it. I know I made enemies. I'm conducting a little well. They brought back JVC Fest this year. They got me opening in a couple of weeks with a pro band.
That's great.
Yeah, it's all right. Truth is, I don't think people understood what it was I was doing at Schaefer. I wasn't there to connect. Any fucking moron can wave his arms and keep people in tempo. I was there to push people beyond what's expected of them. I believe that is an absolute necessity. Otherwise, we're depriving the world of the next Louis Armstrong, the next Charlie Parker. I told you that story about how Charlie Parker became Charlie Parker, right?
Joe Jones threw a cymbal at his head.
Exactly. Parker's a young kid, pretty good on the sax, gets up to play at a cutting session, and he fucks it up. And Jones nearly decapitates him for it. And he's laughed off stage. Cries himself to sleep that night. But the next morning, what does he do? He practices. And he practices and he practices with one goal in mind, never to be laughed at again. And a year later, he goes back to the Reno and he steps up on that stage and he plays the best motherfucking solo the world has ever heard. So imagine if Jones had just said, well, that's okay, Charlie. That was all right. Good job. And Charlie thinks to himself, well, shit, I did do a pretty good job. End of story. No bird. That, to me, is an absolute tragedy. But that's just what the world wants now. I wonder why jazz is dying. I tell you, man, and every Starbucks jazz album proves my point, really. There are no two words in the English language more harmful than good job.
But is there a line? You know, maybe you go too far and you discourage the next Charlie Parker from ever becoming Charlie Parker.
No, man, no. Because the next Charlie Parker would never be discouraged.
Yeah.
All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Natural Born Hunter podcast. And we're jumping right into it tonight. We've got Casey and his brother Jordan Harbison from Mountain Ops here tonight. And the reason I played that intro, if you guys haven't seen the movie, it's from Whiplash, my favorite scene from the movie. And it's because these guys are doing something to this hunting industry that I have never seen before. And for them, you know, good job is just not enough. They're always innovating. They're always motivating, pushing the envelope. I can't go online now without seeing them coming up with something that just, you know, totally changes what you thought a company would do, especially in this industry that seemed to have been so stagnant for so long. They've come on the scene now and really shaken things up. And I know Phil and I are both really excited to get in and talk to him about it tonight. So welcome to the show, boys. Good job.
Well, thank you, Will. Appreciate having us on the show, both of you. Thanks so much, and thanks for the kudos.
Yeah, those are awfully kind words. We, I guess we kind of feel like we're living in a daydream some days to see guys all over the country wearing our shirts, consuming our supplements, and it's pretty mind blowing to us. So thank you.
It's extremely humbling. Yeah. It really is. So thank you. We appreciate that lead in.
Well, yeah, it was a little long, but I think it was worth it. I think
it's worth it. All its weight in gold, man. Absolutely.
I'm Phil sipping on some Starbucks, listening to his favorite jazz album. So
I'm just glad to get invited to the party, man. I mean, I just go with what Will throws at us. So I'm, you know, what else you got, Will?
we got a lot of stuff. Before we started the podcast, we were just brainstorming some terrific ideas. And I don't, you know, not a lot of guys want to come on the show and just divulge what they've been working on, Phil. But I'm going to tell you, don't tell anyone else this, you may see some limited edition Mountain Ops toilet paper coming down the line.
And a potential gold edition of that, too.
Yeah, that we'll eventually put in the vault. Yeah.
The super limited in the vault gold edition comes out only once every 10 years or so.
Because think about it this way, right? You got to think about it in terms of innovation, right? We're talking about nutrition. We're talking about supplements. We're talking about things you need. But when was the last time you were in the backcountry and you're like, dude, I got to go? And you packed everything you needed for a backcountry, but then you're like, I got to use leaves? I mean, come on, man. That's not comfortable.
I've walked out of the hills with half a shirt, half a sock. I know what you're talking about. So I never resort to leaves just because I don't trust them, but I've rocked a half shirt a couple of times while I was hunting, you know, 1980s style.
And not only that, Phil, there will be a whole new campaign. It's going to go a little something like this. Mountain Ops. We used to take care of one end. Now we're taking care of the other.
We need to hire you in our market.
We're changing. Yeah, seriously, Will, what are you doing over there, man? Come on over here.
I'm trusting. Yeah. I can come up with these ideas from here and send them to you.
You subcontract to that.
Yeah, we're changing the industry from the inside out, you know. Yeah. So
go.
We'll have the limited edition Natural Born Hunter collection with mine and Phil's face on it.
I'm not even going to ask how that conversation came about. So,
well, think of it this way. Here's how the marketing goes. We get your faces on it and it says, "Do you feel the will to hunt?"
There you go.
Right?
Brilliant.
I mean, and then
you why they're so successful at this. They're geniuses.
Hey, dude, you're the one that came up with the idea. We'll pay you royalty. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of you. Your ideas are worth everything we can pay for.
You know what actually brought it up, Phil, was the usual talk of Disney movies. And how often do you see a Disney movie go into the Disney vault, never to be seen again? Next Christmas, you know it. It's coming back out with a limited super mega edition with 3 Blu-rays that nobody watches anymore.
Learning, man. I'm learning. I got it with my 2 little kids now, so I'm learning.
That's all you can do. Hang on.
That's it.
Just get excited because, let's see, what was it? Toy Story wasn't, you know, done too long ago, and I think it's due for a re-digital revamp. I mean, it was in the 90s, so, you know, your kids are going to get acclimated to Toy Story again. Like, my son, Peyton, he loves Toy Story. And as a father, I'm sure you can relate to this. How many times have you seen that movie, whatever it is, 100 times when you get home?
Yeah. No.
The repetition our children have to watch the same show and be intrigued every time they watch it is brainwashing, and Disney figured out the best marketing ever.
It's cocaine for kids, man, is what it is.
That's exactly it.
It's super mega limited edition cocaine.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Mom, Dad, this thing's going in the vault. Little did we know Disney's vault has a revolving door where anyone can come through.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What's that new Disney movie out with the chick with the white hair? The Frozen. Have you guys
times
have you boys seen Frozen? I have some friends with kids, and they hear that song kick on, and ooh, they get angry.
Dude, and I, you know, and honestly for myself, I've just been trying to let it go.
Let it go. Let it go.
Let it go.
But my son won't let it go.
What a job they did on that, huh? With all the previews and all that, with the moose and the little snowman, and they made it seem like it was a movie for boys and girls, right? Because my son's seen those previews, and they seen them. He sees a moose on the ice and everything. And it's like, oh, that's gonna be a cool movie for him, and it's a total chick cartoon. You know, I took him to the movie theater thinking it was. I tell you what, the people who create those movies, they've got some mind manipulation game going on that I can't understand, but it shit's real. It's real.
So now did your son ask you to go, or did you ask him to go?
No, man.
He's like, Dad, I think this is a chick Disney movie. You're like, no, I saw a moose.
I'm just glad my son can appreciate girls already. He's only 5, he'll be 6, but he can appreciate when there's some, you know, he says, Dad, sexy lady. So he's learning right, man. I'm okay there.
Where did you learn that one from, Phil? Is that in a Disney movie?
He learned that one from Dad, probably, but.
All right. I mean, I'm sure we could sit here and talk Disney movies all night long. However, Mountain Ops, the Disney of the hunting industry. Where did you guys come from?
Wow, that's a really good question. Where did we come from?
We did.
We just kind of like sprouted out. We're just like, oh, hey, like we're going to do this.
Yeah. Now, to give you a little background as far as where Mountain Ops came from, Jordan and I started a marketing agency about 5 years ago. But previous to that, we were both in sales and marketing, whether it's for the outdoor industry or other industries. Started this agency, started focusing on the outdoor space. It was called Zulu 6, and was doing marketing campaigns, mainly on a digital print style basis, running people's social media for any, you know, companies like Browning, Vortex, Hoyt, Easton, Scentlock, Trueglow. I mean, there's
H&K,
tons of companies in this industry that you would think that it was an in-house team that was doing their marketing. It was actually us. So we've been in this industry for over 10 years just doing it for other people. And that's all fine and well until, you know, you get sick of having 500 bosses that are telling you what to do, and you had that entrepreneurial dream of being your own boss, and it really didn't happen.
Yeah, the tough thing was in a lot of these scenarios, you know, and nothing against some of those people. There's times where we worked with people and we did marketing for them, and it was very successful because there was one thing they did really good, which is they let it go, yeah. Right? They let go of the reins and they said, okay, you guys, since this is what you do, let's see how you do it and let's see how it goes. And when people could completely trust in us, there was great success for these companies. But there was always that kind of tug and pull of, well, I know this is what you guys think we should do, but this is what we want to do. And that's when it came to the end of the day, it was their final say, even though we had all the resources to provide them with the data and statistics of what they should do. And that kind of over the years has affected Casey and I and our business partners to where we got to the point where we said, we gotta do our own thing. And we started for 2 years, really started changing our mind while working for our clients. We were trying to find a way out, if you will. And that is how Mountain Ops came to be, is through our marketing company. We came in contact with our business partner, Trevor, who for 5 years has been building nutritional products in this, you know, in the sports nutrition space. And we finally sat down with him and we put together a plan to help his company. Lo and behold, he saw success in what we were doing for him. He came to us and he said, you know what, guys, I've been struggling trying to figure this egg out, if you will, and how to take this egg and give it to all these people and make it a golden egg, because this space is so saturated and it's so difficult. Do you guys have any ideas? And Casey actually looked him straight in the face and he said, well, after marketing your guys' products and talking with you, I have learned a lot about some of your products. And I can tell you right now that your products are too good for this market and they are built for a completely different athlete. And here's the thing. Trevor is not a hunter. He went pheasant hunting once in his life. So when Casey told him, what's that? That counts, right? Yeah.
Counts. Put it on. Hunter. You're in.
Put it on the board. You're in.
Well, we get welcome sponsors.
Welcome to the Brotherhood.
Yep.
And And so we started talking to him, and suddenly the discussion developed into a business opportunity to develop a brand and more products and refine some of the products to really address the outdoor athlete. Interestingly enough, our competitor, Casey, actually sat and presented them an idea to basically do for them what we are doing for Mountain Ops. But at the time, they were doing really well. They didn't need us, didn't want us, and that was okay. Unfortunately, not unfortunately, but I think good in a lot of good ways. Here we are, you know, a couple of years later, and that's really how Mountain Ops got started. It was the expertise of many coming together over years that really led us down a path that brought together Mountain Ops.
Yeah. Another thing that's led to our success is with our marketing company, Zoo the Six, we would propose an idea of a campaign to our customers, and they would say, "Oh, we could never do that. You just make a print ad and you stick it in a magazine, and that's how you sell guns, or that's how you sell scopes, or that's how, you know, whatever it is." And we're like, "Oh no, man, you'd be surprised what you can do with the internet, or what you can do with, you know, different mediums that are out there outside of just a magazine." And at the same time, you know, it was always the same story, just, no, we can't do that. So what we did is we kind of harnessed all those ideas, and now we're unleashing them through
Mountain Ops.
That's, I think, you know, you ever hear that song, "Thank God for Unanswered Prayers"?
Yes. Is that, what's his name?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
The guy that left, retired, and is now back in concert.
Garth Brooks. I don't think it's Garth Brooks.
Oh, I'm going to fact check you on that one. It's Garth Brooks. You trust me. Unanswered prayers.
I'll bet you a roll of toilet paper. It's not going to I will mail that all the way to Utah. Two of them. One for each.
Will's going to hold me to that.
Making big bets here on the Natural Born Hunter podcast, ladies and gentlemen. We just upped the ante. So, you guys had all these ideas, right? And this sounds a little bit like when I've explained to my dad what Facebook is. It's like, listen, we can reach a lot of people for free. Yeah, online. It's in the computer. Not literally in the computer, but it hooks up to the internet. And trust me, the people there, they'll see it. What do you think the most difficult part was for you guys of trying to get that across, that, hey, this industry is kind of changing. There's a younger group coming up. They're a little more online savvy. It's not the old media and print paradigm, which, you know, everywhere else seems to be kind of dwindling down, you know, thinning out.
Well, I remember having a meeting with Mark Boardman over at Vortex, and at the time they had somewhere around like 14,000 or 15,000 Instagram fans, or not Instagram.
Facebook.
And this is way before algorithms, before anything else that we kind of have to deal with today with Facebook. You know, there's a certain reason why you have 30,000 fans, but only 10 of them see your post. It's because you got to pay to play now.
Yeah.
Way before these days of this, I remember sitting down and having a conversation with him and saying, "Look, Mark, you know, you guys have print ads, you guys have commercials, you have all these things, but you've got 17,000 fans that you're only posting one thing once a day, or once like a month." Like they weren't doing it consistently. And he said, "Well, you know, we don't have time to focus on that." I'm like, "That's 17,000 people. You don't think those guys have money?" And he's like, "Okay, well, what do you propose?" I said, "We need to grow this thing as big as and fast as possible." He's like, "Well, I don't want people getting on my page and saying that Vortex sucks." Like, you know, that was his big concern.
He was worried about getting fans that weren't really fans of Vortex.
Yeah, he's like, "I want to grow this organically." And so after some kind of talk and said, "Look, this is what we can do and stuff," he was like, "All right, I'm going to unleash you guys. Like, go." Well, we helped them grow their page from 17,000 to over 200,000 fans in like 6 months, something like that. Like, it was a crazy fast rate. And I told Mark, I said, "Look, you have 2,000 people by the throat. You can send whatever you want to them until they click unlike. Like, if you want to send a sale to them, boom. If you want to send a cool promotion, or you want to send just a cool picture, like, you have 2,000 people by the throat." He's like, "Wow, I never thought of it that way." You know, nowadays, that's not the story. like if you want to ram something down somebody's throat, you got to pay to do
you
it.
You got to pay to put it down their throat, guys. It's not free. You don't get free throat thrusts anymore. It's you got to pay for that.
But, now you want to be on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, that's right. So what's funny is I had that conversation with I don't know how many people because with Zulu 6 I was over the sales and marketing, so I was the one primarily dealing face to face with the customer and. Everybody was like, well, how much does it cost? And we'd tell them, like, I mean, it's thousands of dollars for us to run their social media pages. You can't get an ROI on that. And it's like, oh, you'd be surprised with ROI. But nobody was, you know, they knew the ROI. They would
get. People who don't know, ROI is?
Return on investment.
There you go.
But basically, I spend $5,000. I want to make more than $5,000. I got to make a return on that $5,000. So the majority of them, these big companies, they'd say, we don't know how to quantify a return and, you know, how do we figure this out? So a lot of guys kind of waited until it was too late to get started. So they waited until algorithms were put in place. You couldn't, you know, Facebook banned you for liking and sharing and doing giveaways and all this. And so companies do not have the ability to grow their pages as fast nowadays because Facebook has to make an ROI on their investment, which is they let you do everything for free and you're making tons of money off them. Now they want to make money off you.
Yeah, so. I guess that's probably why Phil and I only have 2 likes on our Facebook page, and I think it's my mom and Phil's mom.
Dude, as long as your mom likes your page, you're doing something
that's,
right.
That's the only likes that matter anyways.
Yeah, but if they don't, that's where you really have to question your business.
And otherwise, you got somebody else's mom who doesn't even know who you are and doesn't even make you cookies. You know what I mean?
How's unconditional love sound for ROI, guys? That's something
hey,
you could have put a price on TLC. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then on a side note, there's those scary moms that send you the pictures of the graphic pictures, one to like you as a friend. So I don't know if you've got any of those on your page, Will, but
like me as a friend.
We may have no, not my mom. We may have a couple likes from some of them, you know, online predators. You know.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, off the topic, but on the topic with the whole older
you're,
woman.
The thing. Ones you're paying money to jam it down their throat.
Yeah. I'm happily married man, Will.
That was a hypothetical.
Yeah.
What are you really doing in that Starbucks parking lot, Phil?
Hey, man. Nothing. Nothing.
You see a lady with a beard walk up to Phil's truck, guys. You just pretend it didn't happen.
So you guys are obviously, I mean, from a business perspective, you basically had years to perfect your craft and then now implement it to your own product and basically capitalize yourself on it. So
we have, and that's, yeah, Phil, to your point, you know, all those years of experience. And the thing with marketing is it's always changing. It's never the same from literally from month to month, things change. Just like Casey's explaining with Facebook, that happens on all mediums. And so we've been so fortunate with our experience to be able to adapt as the market changes. And so, yeah, we've taken our years of experience and we've put that into what is now Mountain Ops. And we've coupled that with a phenomenal brand, an incredible product, and a great lifestyle. And so I think those three right there kind of give you the ammunition to go as high and as far as you want.
So let me, I mean, now touching on that, but maybe giving the listeners some advice, you know, I own a pro shop here in Denver, an archery pro shop, and I can't tell you how many guys come in the door that just started shooting a bow and they're real excited. They want to quit their job and make a living in the outdoor industry, right? That's the common story. And don't get me wrong, I was one of those guys years ago. I opened a pro shop because I was, you know, thinking I can get rich on that. And we're doing okay, but not to talk about that. It's more so you guys – again, had a business of helping other companies make money, improve their business model. Now you have a product that you guys partnered with someone else and are really blowing it up as far as being out there, the presence. And so somebody that, let's say Joe Schmo off the street says, you know what, I dabble a little bit in this. What kind of advice would you give to somebody like that as to how hard is it? What hurdles did you guys have to overcome? How much time do you think, you know, before somebody can transition and say, I've got a side gig, but I need my full-time job to make, to pay the bills. You know, is there any advice you can give to someone to, you know, you guys obviously are living proof of that. You know, it's, you've made it work.
Yeah. And honestly, when we started our marketing business, we were marketing for, home builders, lawyers, car dealership,
all tricks of the trade.
You name it. And honestly, what happened was we got paid a lot of money to help these guys out. Lawyers have a lot of money. Car dealerships, sure, they have a lot of money. Home builders, they got a lot of money. But it was super boring. It was the problem. I mean, how many times can you create an ad to sell the exact same house? I mean, it was just boring for us. Loved the companies, loved the people, but
we were passionate about that.
So as we started getting more clients, you know, like Easton, Archer, we've been doing stuff for them forever. We started doing stuff for Hoyt, for Vortex, these companies. You know, the pay wasn't as good, but we were enjoying our jobs more. And really what we started seeing was we were building up enough clientele that we were starting to let the professional guys go. Well, eventually what happened was, you know, when we started out Mountain Ops, we started it as a test, honestly. We were still doing our marketing for the companies, and we were doing the marketing for Mountain Ops on the side. Whether, you know, Wilderness Athlete was out there, but it was like, our product's so different than theirs. Is the marketing going to respond to ours? And when it got to about November of last year, we had to make a huge decision. And the decision was, you know, we've got this marketing company and we have this nutrition company, and both of them are doing about the exact same, but we saw way more potential here, and we liked the fact that we could be our boss, that we took a very uncomfortable jump in November, and thank goodness it paid off. But I've seen hundreds of companies over the years where people aren't willing to take that risk and their business fails because you can't serve two masters, not to get all spiritual and scriptural on you, but you really can't. Like, you got to dedicate your focus to one or the other. It's, you know, I kind of look at, I love shooting my bow and I love shooting my gun. I shoot my bow way more than I do my gun now because I'm trying to become a better archer. And so so I've had to, you know, kind of put the gun in the safe, if you will, and focus on that. And my archery skills are becoming better each and every day. If I was doing archery one day, rifle the other, they would both grow at a slow pace where my archery is escalating because I'm putting more emphasis
towards that. To kind of take that to like what you're saying, like Casey's explaining, is, you know, there's a lot of guys in this industry and in a lot of industries that it's the step in that becomes very uncomfortable for anybody. And I bet you can attest to this, Phil, when you started your pro shop. I mean, to make that transition from probably a very comfortable position you might have been in to a very uncomfortable where you're looking at the bottom line every month saying, are we going to make it? You know, how am I going to keep doing this? That's uncomfortable, but it's the risk-reward factor. If you're not willing to take that risk, you'll never know what the reward could have been, but you have to give all of your blood, sweat, and tears and focus to whatever that is, and then you'll see that return in exponentially.
I guess I'm in a little different boat. My main business is a family business, of which my dad has owned for 35 years. So I help him run that, and I'm still helping run both businesses now. And that's why my question is that my archery shop is starting to do well enough to where now I have your predicament from November. I'm starting to face that same predicament. You know what I mean? And so I know what you mean. It's hard to dabble into both. It's better to focus on one, put your heart in it and all your energy and effort, and just, you know, hopefully push it to success.
Well, what's funny, Phil, is I 5 years ago, I was in the exact same boat as you. I was my dad owns a very, very successful company, and that's really where we've learned a lot of our business experience from, is he's been a mentor to us. But I was like on the ladder to take this multi-million dollar company over. I mean, plenty of security, basically. I mean, the best type of scenario you can think of was laid out in front of me. And Jordan came to me and said, let's start a business together. And so
I was like, dude, you can either have this throne over here that's made of gold and jewels, or you could have this porcelain one over here that looks really good now. We can make it look better later, you know, with marketing and time.
We'll get some toilet paper.
Yeah, we'll get some toilet paper. Let's do this. And Casey looked at me and was just like, and this is how Casey is. He's like, all right, give me a second, Jordan. I'll come back to you, but I need to actually write out a list of pros and cons. And it was so funny when he brought back a list to me. He showed me the pros and the cons, and the pros heavily outweighed the cons. And so I was like thinking he's going to say, you know what, bro, thanks for the invite, but no thanks. Like, good luck, love you, support you, kind of thing. And after further discussion, he did what we've always done in our lives and what our dad taught us is he took a risk, even leaving the man who told him to take risks, you know, and go and do something with his brother, because my dad and his brother have actually owned a business for 30 years now. And so I guess you could say Casey and I are kind of that next generation of Harbertson brothers owning a business together. But it's that it's Phil, that's it's going to be a lot of time, thought, and I think most often in most circumstances when we're talking about this, taking that leap of faith, if you will, is very difficult. But if you're willing to just go and never look back, you'll never forget, and you'll appreciate the success that you see, because you took two things, you focused on one, and you made that one thing the greatest thing.
Right. No, and I think that's great advice for anybody, and that's why I ask it, because like I said, you guys obviously you've got your shit together. You guys have done a great job with Mountain Ops, that from what we can see on the surface, you know, and getting a little bit more insight into the company is really what Will and I were interested in. You know, not that we don't care about the supplements, but I mean, I've been working out for 20 years and I've taken probably 50 different kinds of supplements from different brands, of which half the time I can't tell you if some of them work or not, you know. And don't get me wrong, and then what you guys touched on a little bit ago with Wilderness Athlete and your product, you guys feeling they're a little different. When I talked to Mark at Wilderness Athlete, he said that he commented on the same thing. He said, our products are a little bit different than each other. We really, I mean, we're approaching the same community, but the products seem to be kind of independent or unique of each other.
The formulations are so different, and the thing that I love is you know, the first 6 months of Mountain Ops being around, people are like, yo, so you hate Wilderness Athlete? Do you guys, who's your, you know, do you guys, is your product better? And really, it's so different. Like, for example, I mean, I'm going to be the first one to tell you, the reason I approached Wilderness Athlete to do their marketing was because I was taking their products and I liked their products.
Sure.
But I wanted to be the one to help them push it further. You know, that didn't happen, but I mean, for example, with the Wilderness Athlete, when I take it in the morning, I have to take it in the afternoon. When I met with Trevor, the thing I said was I'm a backcountry hunter. I can only take so much water, so much weight. I need something that gives me 16 hours of smooth energy, and I can't have jitters crash. I got to be focused. Like, I told him everything I need. He's like, well, would that be okay if it was 20 hours? And I was like, hell yeah. So
as long as I can sleep at night.
Yeah.
So that was the difference, was like one of the major difference of ours is it's longer release times. And we try and pack more products into one product than having to take multiple, even though sometimes you just can't do that. You still have to take multiple products to receive all the needs that you may have. But in all honesty, they're a great company. We absolutely respect them. And it's great for the consumers to finally have a choice, because for the last 10 years, it was that or it was whatever you could get at GNC.
Yeah. No, and you're right. And competition really brings out the best in competitors, right? And that's where I think that, yeah, I think Wilderness Athlete will continue to grow, as are you guys, you know, because like you said, this community, this athletic hunting community, if you will, or the athlete of a hunter, as what, you know, Will and I kind of talk about it, is growing so fast that, man, the sky's the limit, you know, is what I see it for companies like yours and Wilderness Athlete both, because you guys are competitors. People have a choice now. Like I said, you guys, have a respect factor amongst each company. And I honestly, when I've talked to them, they have the same, they've spoken the same kind of words about you guys, you know. It's a utmost respect thing, but our product's a little bit different, you know. And
yeah, it really is.
And that's it.
Well, and so, you think about it too. And I always tell, this is how I kind of explain things to people is you know, people always want the dirt. People want to get under the skin. People want to find out the nitty gritty, right. Because people love negativity. For some reason, human beings are driven to negativity, unlike Will, who is not, right, buddy?
Nothing but positivity and good vibes over here, boys.
That's right, dude. Can't handle it. And I was telling him earlier, you know, a quote that my dad always said that really stuck with me was, your attitude will determine your altitude. So have a good altitude. And I live by that same motto because there's just too much in this world that's negative and there's no reason for enemies. I think in speaking of terms of companies, look at Nike and Adidas, who have been around forever, right? And how many other companies are there out there just like them, you know? And they just do what they do best. And I think it's so good to have competition because it continues the movement of innovation. How do we push ourselves? How do we continue to increase the value in this market by increasing the health and quality of products that provide results and benefits for these athletes? And we don't become stagnant. We don't become satisfied. We don't become, you know, we don't rest on our laurels, if you will. We're always trying to change, make sure we're using the newest sciences and technologies and things. And so, no, we have the utmost respect for Mark, Chris, and all those guys. And we're happy to be here. And there's plenty of room for all of us.
Yeah, and I think if we were all to look in our gun safes or even on our bows, like, there's a good chance that you have a Leupold rangefinder and Vortex binos and a Zeiss scope. I mean, but you have those for a reason. So we haven't really seen it much yet, but it's very possible that maybe you'll see our Mountain Ops Yeti sitting next to a Wilderness Athlete protein powder. I mean, that right. maybe they like their protein powder, but it's cool. You have the choice. And so with this movement and everything happening, you know, we've heard of other companies that have tried to come into the space or planning on coming into the space, and we're not going to be the last ones. There's going to be many, many more that see this opportunity. We do know of some that were planning on coming to the space, then saw what we were doing and said, I don't want to compete with that. Never mind. But the reality of the situation is we both companies have the same goal, which is improving health and wellness in this industry. And if there is an industry that needs it, it's this one.
Right.
You know, that's an interesting thing you brought up about the Vortex binos and the Leupold rangefinder. It's like, how many bow companies are there out there? You know, and I think people are so used to being like, oh, I got the Bowtech. You got what, Matthews? Oh, that thing sucks. It's like,
it's that negativity, dude. I'll tell you what, Will. I just got a truck finally. Yeah, I finally got my man card back. I traded in my Honda Accord only because it got in a wreck. But I got a Dodge, right? Plug for Dodge. You're welcome. And
all my
friends, why did you get a Dodge? Why didn't you get a Ford or all this? I'm like, dude, I don't care. I got a truck now. I can actually go on a mountain. What's your problem?
Yeah, they're like, why did you get a Dodge? You're like, but it's not a car.
Dude, I Well, dude, your Honda had better gas mileage. I don't care. I can put
in the back.
I can put a deer or an elk or some kind of animal in the back of my truck. What do you want me to do? Get some zip ties and tie on the elk while it's bleeding over my windows as I'm rolling down the road? No, thank you.
I mean, we've all seen that, though. Yeah.
We have. And, you know, on that guy, hey, you know.
Not that we're hating on those people.
Whatever
gets your kill home.
Yeah, whatever works for you. And, you know, and that's one thing that we always say here at Mountain Ops is, and even with our product line, some products work differently for certain people. And we use the term everybody is different. And that's true across the board. You know, Phil, you're talking, you've taken a lot of products in your life and supplementation because through the process, you found what works for your body. As long as you are conscious of what you're putting into your body, though, that's key because there are a lot of products out there that are not good for you. And that's one of the things that we strive and we hold true to. And that's kind of the if you will, the cornerstone of our company is the highest quality products with the highest quality ingredients with no substances or any kind of ingredient that could be harmful to the body because everybody is different and their bodies are all different in how they consume things. But the truth is the same, which is health, wellness, fitness, all of these things can play a major role in creating a happy and positive life.
So you saying the injectables are not a good way to take it then?
Dude, it
depends on what they are.
Yeah,
nine times out of ten.
you guys ever see a video with Rich Piana, the bodybuilder Rich Piana, talking about steroids?
Wait,
he looks like a human shark. He's giant with his big like head and neck and just a super aggressive looking dude, and he's talking about, you know, how you can when you take steroids you can work out like no rest needed, you get better every time you go on. And like the one thing I got from it is this dude really seems like he enjoys steroids. like shit. He's talking about the difference between natural and taking steroids. It's almost like a commercial for steroids. Like, I'm watching him. He's just like, oh, when you're taking steroids, you can work out like just nonstop every time you go. And you just keep better, getting better and better. Steroids. You gotta take rest. It's like, well, I don't like taking rest, Rich. I'll tell you that much.
What's funny is, Phil, to your comment, I was watching Tosh.0 last night, and he had some major league pitcher on his show, and before he went up to try and hit his 95 fastball, he grabbed a juice box and a syringe, got the juice out of the syringe, or out of the box, and then injected it. So that would be probably one of the only ones.
The only acceptable ones. Not so much funny, I guess. It's kind of on that note, with a lot of people, and I think Will, you bring up a really good point. A lot of people are extremely skeptical about supplementation, and I think the reason for that is because of video clips like that industry over there that kind of promotes that kind of lifestyle and that look and feel of the body that you need to look like this in order to be happy. And what's interesting is our bodies are amazing, okay? And
well, I know mine is.
That's why he's single, right?
By the way, Jordan Harper's with It's Your Body and It's Amazing. Steroids, kids.
No, stay in school. So a lot of people are skeptical, but that is such a good thing. It's human nature is we're skeptical about things, especially things we put in our body. But what's funny is there's so many things that we put in our bodies that have toxins. We don't even know about it. You know, there's packaged goods and things that are being produced because of the demand. They have to make shortcuts and do things to make these products and these foods to get them to market so we can consume them, and we don't even know what we're putting in. But yet you'll look at a bottle, you know, much like this, and a person will start to look at it, and they're very skeptical. What is this going to do? What's going to happen?
Now, they won't question throwing a Twinkie in there.
No.
Those are good for you, though.
they don't question throwing down, you know, any kind of food that could potentially have stuff in it that's harmful. But the thing is that, unfortunately, that market over there has kind of put a black eye on supplementation. And it's because people are like, well, I don't want to look like that or do that. And the thing is our products are built with natural ingredients, with natural processes and blends that provide natural results that help amplify your body's ability to do its job better. And that's what's important, is consuming things that help the body to perform more efficiently by not putting something that is going to change the body to where it's either going to affect it negatively or make it so that it can't perform down the road, where you're only providing a result for a short time, but on the back end you're going to get, you know, negative results. And that's why Mountain Ops is the way it is because we don't have steroids, you know. We don't have anything. What we have is products that help to amplify your body's ability to perform and to endure and to do things better so that you can be a much happier, healthier individual, which is going to equate to a couple things. If you're happy, Will, let me ask you, because you're Mr. Happy. You're Mr. Wonderful.
I'm a
right?
good time.
Mr. Positive. Have you ever been unfit in your life?
Oh, yeah. I've gone through a few fat cycles, bulking seasons, if you will, that were a little too successful.
Okay. So,
you like that line, don't you? All right. Well, it looks like I'm going to have to edit this together.
So
where were we 10 minutes ago?
Will, have you in your life, I mean, have you had cycles where you weren't in the best shape you could be in?
Yeah, I'll add it back to the bulking season. We got that part.
And that's the thing that, you know, is really interesting about supplementation is the supplementation coupled with a healthy lifestyle helps an individual to get themselves into a better place, both mentally and physically. And that mental and physical does a world of difference when we're talking about athletics, the outdoors, hunting, and everything. You know, a lot of guys, we've even heard this before, guys says, going to the gym and pumping weights doesn't make you a better hunter. Okay, that could be very true to a point, but I'll tell you what, having that muscle and that strength when leg day really begins and you're packing out an elk and a deer is extremely important. If you're only going to the gym, you should probably think about doing some hikes and some workouts because that's going to help build your cardio, which is going to increase your endurance to help you to not only have the strength, but the endurance to be able to endure and take that pack out or to pack in or whatever your circumstances.
Hey, man, the guy that says that is full of shit. I mean, excuse my language, and I don't mean to cuss, but seriously, no. The guys that argue that working out doesn't help you be a better hunter. That's so far from the truth. Like you just said, I mean, your explanation was perfect because when it matters, the guy who's worked out and the guy who hasn't worked out, who's going to be better off? You know?
Exactly.
My guess a lot of times too is the guys that are saying that, and you know, it's amazing to see my PMs blow up when a big thread gets started somewhere of, you know, either wilderness athletes better than mountain ops, or mountain ops is better than wilderness athlete, or those who go to the gym suck at hunting, or you know, whatever it is that they say. And you know, are you guys going to jump in on this? I'm like, no, because normally the guy that's starting that fight is doing one of two things. One, he's probably killing something 1,000 yards off of a road, like, but I don't know. You know, maybe he's going to the backcountry, maybe he's not. I don't know the individual personally, but it's like, if that individual spent some time in the gym, they would realize, wow, this sucks. This is hard. This isn't necessarily fun, but I see myself improving every single time. And if we can make, you know, there's always that saying that goes around, if you can make yourself better today than yesterday, you know, it's that much better. And so really, like, to Jordan's point, when leg day comes around, even though you killed that animal 1,000 yards off the road with a gun, or maybe you can shoot that far with a bow, I don't know. you still got to drag that animal out of there. Like, you're putting it in your pack or you're dragging it on the ground. And I don't care who you are. I don't care what kind of shape you're in. That sucks and that's hard. Everybody says that's when the work begins. And really, if you haven't been prepping for that moment, it sucks that much more. Yeah. You know, go ahead.
You get a lot of times with people like that who start those threads and those arguments is it's not about whether they're a great hunter, or whether they work out, or where they hunt. It's they're probably a dick.
Or a troll.
They're just a troll. You know, if you're a dick, you're a dick. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You're probably like that everywhere you go.
I'll tell you right now from personal experience, you know, and I'm going to be the first one to tell you this. Talk to me a year ago. And I didn't use much supplementation. I didn't work out very much. And Casey was actually with me on a hunt where I was bow hunting on the Wasatch Front here in Utah. And it was one of my first opportunities with a bow to try and harvest a deer, a mule deer. And we spotted this beautiful buck from down below. And we knew we had to hike. And if anybody who's listening has been on the Wasatch Front, they know how steep of an elevation gain that is to start from the base and go to the top. And he was with his does at the top. And so Casey and
I was pushing his does hard. Like, we knew we had to.
We knew it was – we had a limited window of time to get in position and have an opportunity to place a shot. But to get there, the distance between was – I mean, it was rigorous and it was tough.
Probably about 2,000 feet of elevation that we were looking at.
Then we had to gain that elevation in less than 30 minutes.
Fast.
We had to do it fast.
It was insane.
So I was in no – I was not in good shape. I just had my son Peyton, so I put on some Prego weight, if you will. They call it the pity weight for your
sympathy
life, you know.
Yeah.
I was sympathy weight. I've been hibernating, you know. I just didn't know when I was going to need it and use it. But Casey and I'll never forget this experience. Casey and I were really running up the mountain with my bow, and Casey was leading. And all of a sudden, Casey looked back, and I passed out. I'll never forget it. I was so exhausted. I was so excited, so my adrenaline was pumping. My body couldn't handle the excitement and couldn't handle that I started hyperventilating, and I couldn't keep up with Casey, and all of a sudden, I literally passed out. Casey, fortunately, in time, was aware enough to look back, see the situation, come back down before I literally probably would have
caught him right before
fall down the mountain, grabbed me, and sat down, and Casey was like, okay, are you okay? And I still remember what he did. He looked at me and he slapped me. He's like, we got a 4x4 up there. Get your butt together. We got to get up there. And I'm still like trying to come out of my blackout, and I'm looking at him and I'm like, what? You know, you just slapped me, dude? And that experience really showed me, one, how tough and tough bow hunting is in the backcountry on the Wasatch. You know, chasing big game, it requires a lot of our bodies, and my body couldn't even handle it. I passed out. Casey, we had to wait 10, 15 minutes for me to come to. I finally came to, and we tried, but by the time we got up there,
that was that 15 minutes that it took. Literally, we were 15 minutes late to their escape route, and we would have been right in that saddle. I mean, it was beautiful.
So we came up.
It would have been a dead deer the way it was all laid out.
Maybe if someone had passed out along the way.
Well, I'll be honest, I probably would have missed. It was a nice buck.
If I would have had it, but honestly, if I would have had a tag, I would have just left it and kept going.
I would have thrown my bow at Casey. Hey, like, you get him, dude.
How good of a video would have that made if, you know, you had a camera guy right there?
Oh, my gosh, dude. GoPro on there on my face. You just see me just going up.
It would be a viral video for sure. You should have seen his face. Literally, I mean, there was snow. It was in November when this happened, but he was whiter than the snow. That's when I knew something was wrong, and I caught him right as he was falling back. And
that experience really showed me the lack of physical ability that I had to perform that kind of a hunt and to take on that kind of a situation, if you will. And so that was before Mountain Ops. And since Mountain Ops, since January, I'm down 25 pounds. I'm in the best shape I've been in a long time. I have been out of shape. Now, am I ripped? You know, I don't know. My horseshoes look great.
You're not doing
bad.
Yeah,
they're coming along, right? Obama can't ban me.
You got some beginner sets going.
Yeah, I'm working. I got my little 22 LR right here. So
good for long range.
But the thing is I have for the last, you know, since January, I've been running. Casey and I have been starting groups in here, just like Aaron Snyder from Kifaru Packs International started in Colorado, this Mountain Warrior deal. We've been doing that here in Utah with the group, just loading our packs and putting ourselves with sports-specific training that's specific to what we do, which is when we take a backpack into the backcountry and we hike with lots of weight. So my cardio is doing really well. My endurance is up. I'm now working out at the gym with Casey, lifting weights and building my strength so I'm ready for that leg day. But the most important thing that I can really address, aside from being a better hunter and being better shape, my confidence levels are through the roof. I am a happier person. I have a lot more confidence. And you know what that confidence is going to equate to when I'm sitting behind a beautiful big game animal, you know, between 20 to 60 yards, and I'm at full draw and I've got all the confidence in the world. That mental is going to play so big on my opportunities when I have that opportunity. And I think guys, those dicks, if you will, they're the ones that they don't understand that. No. That it's not about building muscle at all. It is, but it's not. That's not the end goal. You're building a healthy lifestyle that's equating to confidence. You know, you're going to be happier. You're going to be more positive. You're going to enjoy your life more, and that's going to equate to better opportunity and more success in the outdoors as you spend more time there, because you can go farther than 1,000 yards into the backcountry. You don't pass out on a mountain.
You know, I couldn't agree more. And it's kind of like, you know, when you start working out, whether it's for hunting or other reasons, you know, you could be hunting deer, or you could be hunting women, you know, going out trying to, you know, pick up some nice young ladies to do whatever with. And it's confidence. If you don't believe in yourself, nobody else is gonna. And you need confidence to succeed on any hunt you're doing, you know. And I'm going to show you something right now that it's not a lot of people see this, but I'm going to show you, boys, and anybody watching the video can see this. And this is Fat Will Bradley. I'm going to introduce you to there. You see, you can kind of see him. It's not the greatest picture, but you can make out the pumpkin-esque figure I have going on. I grew a pretty large goatee to cover what would have been a triple chin at that point. And as a fellow former fat guy, I can relate to your story, and I have my own of, I hunt out behind my house. We got roughly 100 acre here of hardwoods, and I'm hiking out a tree stand, and it is maybe a quarter mile hike with some pretty good vertical to it. And I had to stop like every 20 steps to catch my breath. Now I run that whole route out there with 100-pound packs on my back. And that difference of just the confidence I have, not feeling like if I go out here, I might not make it back out because my fat lazy ass can't carry my equipment. It's a terrible feeling. And here's another thing, and this is not scientifically proven, but as an East Coast hunter, I spend a lot of time sitting, right? Now, there was a time when my butt was not so muscular, right? There wasn't many leg days. There might have been a few arms and chest days, but there weren't any leg days. I'll guarantee you that. And now that I actually have muscle on my butt, it is way more comfortable to sit in a deer stand. You ever watch King of the Hill back in the day? They talked about like the disappearing man ass, where they showed like all the characters' butts, and like none of the old dudes had a butt anymore. It's because it's muscle. It's gone. It's not, a butt's not magical. It's the top of your legs. You got to work it out if you want to keep it. And there's a reason you want to have it, so you're comfortable sitting down. Well, other reasons too, but I guarantee you'll be able to sit longer in a deer stand if you got some big, comfortable, muscly butt under you. It's a fact.
Man, from paper to butt cheeks.
What's that?
Yeah, we've covered it all.
Yeah. Phil, you asked earlier, what should those guys do who buy the bows? They wanna become professional hunters. Here's what you do: you get good at telling dick jokes, you buy a microphone, and you grab a buddy, and you start a podcast. And you can introduce people who are making a living in the industry.
There you go.
Oh man, that's
great. So, what's that?
Nothing, man. No, I'm speechless, Will. I'm speechless.
That's not good. We got to talk on this thing. So you guys do a lot of cool stuff in Mount Ops. I saw that pretty gnarly truck you gave away. And right now, you run these all through, is it the drop zone? Is that what it's being called now when you guys come out with these new crazy giveaways and deals you're doing?
Yeah, so with the truck, it was a truck for a buck deal, but since this one was different, we're like, let's create something that's more generic. So essentially, we're going to drop something on you now. So once we're done with the hunt, we're in the works on another one. So we're going to continue to keep doing cool things like this, giving people cool opportunities to basically get more bang for your buck. You are getting something. You're getting gear. You're getting supplements. So it's not like you're really losing out, but if you just have that potential perk.
You don't know what this giveaway is. What is your current giveaway?
So the current giveaway that we're doing is it's the Mountain Ops Drop Zone, fully guided and outfitted, all expenses paid, Colorado, Phil.
The Colorado
elk hunt. We're coming to back
archery.
We're coming to his. We're coming to his backyard.
You guys going on the?
And so we're not going on the hunt.
The individual that wins the hunt will go. We're trying to work with the outfitter to see if we'll if they'll let us come and film it. But to give you an idea how cool this hunt is, this outfitter owns about 20,000 private acres that they really don't hunt on. But you can only access, it's like something like 200,000 public through that 20,000 acres. So the only other way of getting in is, I think it's a 12 or 15 mile horseback ride back into this area. So you're going to be the only guy out there hunting. And it's not high fences. It's not, leashed to some fence. You're literally chasing screaming bulls in the rut. So you're going to be able to choose the date. The other thing that's cool about the hunt too is, like, let's say you win, something happens, your leg falls off. You can actually transfer that hunt to whoever you want. Cool. So if, that's another thing the guide said that they would like us to do, or the outfitters, and the outfitters is Book Cliff Outfitters. If you go and check them out online at bookcliffoutfitters.com, they, not only from what we've heard from the guys that have done the hunting, the food is amazing that they cook for you each night and each morning.
The hospitality
is amazing, but it's like that dream hunt of going in on horseback, setting up a wall tent and hunting from there. Like, who wouldn't want to do that?
And so with that, not only are you going to be able to do that, get the hunt, but you're going to get some phenomenal gear from some of the greatest companies in this industry. I mean, Hoyt is giving the winner a fully geared up carbon spider bow with that zero torque in it. So they get to choose the bow. It's going to be accessorized by Fuse. You've got Deep Easton Deep Six arrows that's going to be put in there. So you get the lowest profile, deepest penetrating arrow on the market with broadheads of your choice. You get camo top to bottom, inside out from Kings. And so Vortex is giving the Razor HD binoculars with the Ranger 1000 finder. So, I mean, and Phelps Games Call is giving you games calls, so you can call him in. Hopefully this guy knows how to call. If not, he's going to have to learn.
Well, he's got a guide. That's the whole point.
That's true. Well, he's got a guide. That's right. I've never done that, so I don't know. But it's an incredible opportunity, and like we a lot of people give away hunts and do things, and that's fantastic. We wanted to make sure that when we gave this away, you know, the individual, how it works really is for every $5 you spend on Mountain Ops anywhere, that is one entry or one entry into this draw, if you will, or this potential tag, that individual, if they are the winner, they will buy all of that gear and that hunt and everything from us for $1. So how it works is for every $5 you spend, that's one entry. So you buy a shirt for $20, you get four entries, and that lucky winner is going to get contacted by us, and then they are going to buy all of that gear, that $18,000 package for $1, fully expensed. They're going to get, we're going to, if they live anywhere in the country, if they live in your neck of the woods, Will, or if they're where Phil's at, we'll drive them there. Whatever, they're going to get taken care of. So it's an incredible experience.
Yeah, so basically, you just got to bring your boots and show up because, I mean, Kefaro's also.
Kefaro's got a backpack. Kefaro
late season pack. So really, the individual that wins this is going to be one of the luckiest SOBs on earth.
Everyone's going to hate him.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So you guys will not be coming to his house to dress him, though, and drag him out?
Only if it's you.
Deal. I might have to buy one of those entries. I'm feeling pretty lucky.
Yeah, so it ends on the 30th of this month, and the winner will be announced first part of July.
Awesome. Very cool. So you want to tell us what's next?
Oh, the next drop zone?
The problem if we tell you is we'd have to kill you, and I can't shoot that far.
Yeah, dude, top secret. That's in the next crate.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so you guys got this current giveaway. Again, Mountain Ops, really just, you know, you guys just killing it on the scene now. Where do you see yourself here, you know, like in the short term, 5 year, 10 year? What do you guys see? How do you see the, like you talked before about evolving and adapting? I don't know, man. What do you guys predict? I know it's hard to predict, but what do you see yourselves?
You know, it's interesting. A lot of people say that this whole hunter-athlete thing is a fad. You've probably seen that quite a bit. What's interesting and what we've learned from our marketing is the hunting industry is anywhere from 10 to 5 to 2 years behind mainstream. So, for example, when did you start your podcast?
Last night. No, I'm kidding. About 4 weeks ago, and this is something I don't think we've ever talked about on here, is I would not have started this podcast if it wasn't for another podcast. I don't know if anyone's ever listened to it. It's called Weightlifting Talk, and it's hosted by John North and Jared Enderton, another Colorado guy, Phil. And I'm listening to it, hearing them talk about their sport and about weightlifting and the way they did it, was like, you know, This is what somebody should be doing for this athlete hunting, you know, movement. And so that's how we got it. But if it wasn't for that, I don't know if we would be doing it at all. But we started roughly, a month ago, Phil? I think this is our fifth episode?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't count it.
So what's interesting is you created something based off of what's happening in mainstream, not happening in our industry. And so if you look at the different trends, I mean, you look at, like, one of the things we did at Zoo the Six is we probably designed half of your wardrobe. Actually, the shirt that Phil's wearing right now, we designed for Hoyt.
That's the Hoyt shirt, yeah.
Yeah.
So we designed
and,
that for Hoyt.
And we didn't do the train hunt that you're wearing.
I did this one. Look at that.
Did you do that?
Oh, yeah, that's all me.
Dude, you look good.
Let me change that. I didn't actually, you know, put it together. I made a drawing, then had one of the designers who I was working with. But, yeah, this came from a little collaboration between Kat and I and somebody who actually has talent with a computer.
What I was saying was, you remember Affliction, American Fighter, how, you know, that was the craze for a few years?
Yep, yep.
Well, when that wasn't cool in mainstream, it was still cool for about 2 years in the hunting industry.
Hunting. Now it's not cool kids anymore. Are.
you look at like, designer jeans. That was in mainstream 5 years ago, came to hunting for a few years. Now everybody's switching over to yoga pants. Well, yoga pants has been in mainstream for about 5 years. We're just barely starting to see people at trade shows in yoga pants.
You're wearing yoga pants?
Yes, just yoga pants.
Oh, actually, yoga, off yoga pants. Actually, speaking of weightlifting talk, they push these virus the compression like tights. I'm going to tell you right now, mm-hmm. as soon as I get abs, I will be working out in nothing but tights. You look for the next train to hunt cop.
I'm glad I'm in Colorado. I'm glad I'm far away, Will.
His whole marketing campaign behind that is he doesn't want to show any false advertising. He just wants you to see what you're going to get pretty much, right?
I may not even know that I'm thinking about it. Let's just get some Mountain Ops compression tights.
This is what I'm rolling with.
And abs. I'm going to go for it and say, here it is, world, bold and beautiful.
Set me for who I am. Yeah, Love me from the inside.
I'll be getting that Archer Ash Award from ESPN next year. They'll be going, the man who wasn't afraid to show off his love handles, Will Bradley, here he is.
That's what I'm talking about. Well, you know, and Casey, like what Casey's saying is a podcast, for instance, podcasts are becoming very popular in our industry right now, but they've been around for 10 years since the iPod came out, you know, since Apple introduced iTunes. And so, but all of these things, the vision that we see for Mountain Ops and where we want to go with it is there a few things. One is we want to make this a healthier industry. Bottom line, we want to create healthier lifestyles and habits for hunters everywhere to increase their quality of life. That's our mission and our goal, because that equates to a lot of different things that we've talked about previous, with increased confidence, increased less depression, more happiness. Your wife loves you more, you know, you enjoy your life more, you seem to be more active and more alive, and who doesn't want that? Right. I mean, and if you don't want it, I don't even know why you're on this earth, to be honest with you. You should love every day you're alive and enjoy every moment that you have. And so for Mountain Ops, if we want to be, and I say this lightly, but we want to be the Red Bull of this industry, okay? And what I mean by that is Red Bull, their product is not a good product in the sense that it has chemicals and different things in it. It has a crash factor. It's not very nutritional, but it provides a result that guys want and ladies want, which is a quick fix of spike of energy. I get my rush, you know, it tastes like Smarties or whatever. Mountain Ops is different because we're creating products that provide healthy, sustainable results with healthy benefits that contribute to a healthier lifestyle. Okay, and then we want to take and create that lifestyle that Red Bull's done, which is a healthy sports active lifestyle. We want to do that for this space because there's nobody in this space that's really doing that. And that's our goal, is we want to help people to live that kind of a lifestyle, incorporating bow hunting, rifle hunting, fishing, boating, everything that the outdoors offers. We want this industry to have that kind of passion that the motorcycle guys and the guys over there with Red Bull have, and have it right here.
So you want to start being on helmets and parachutes and guide boats and all that stuff?
Guys jumping out of space.
Yeah, we may get somebody jumping out of space here really soon.
Hey, yeah, only you guys can find a podcast. I'll find a good one. Yeah, so though. I'll recommend.
As far as
you got some recommendations.
Yeah, you
as far as where we're going to be. As far as where we're going to be in 5 years, honestly, have no idea. But you guys are creating this style of podcast at a really good time, because we see over the next 2 years a huge wave of that hunter athlete mentality just taking over more and more, because it's just going to bleed more from mainstream. We've seen Cameron Haynes, we've seen Aaron Snyder, we've seen Eva Shockey, we've seen some of these figures in the industry that have really helped to promote that mentality, and have also been doing it to basically the masses, but nobody doing anything about it. But now people's mindsets are changing and they're like, oh wow, like this really does help. So it's just going to be, that mindset's going to continue to change and evolve because it's really bleeding in from what's happening in mainstream.
You know, here's a question I got for you. You know, Phil and I, we're trained hunt guys. Phil's current national champion. What do you guys think? I know it's, you know, obviously they're associated with a wilderness athlete, but what do you think of yourselves competing someday?
In that event?
Yeah.
Or just competing?
Event, you know, not necessarily Colorado, wherever. I think they're going to Utah.
No, that's the lifestyle of mountain ops. We want to create and do things similar to the train to hunt to help guys.
You two, gentlemen, in the competition.
Us individually?
Yeah, you good-looking fellas, get your bows, get your packs, come on out, have a nice fun day with gentlemen like Phil and I, that sort of thing. You know, mountain ops, maybe a mountain ops brothers team. I mean, I guess you could go as an individual if you don't want him passing out on the course on you, but.
Yes, that's the problem. I may have to do it solo because this guy just likes to pass out whenever it comes to intense situations.
That is not – it's changed, okay?
No, it hasn't. It happened again.
It got mountain ops.
It happened last year.
When?
We were going – what were we going after? Was it elk or what? And you started passing out again. We had to stop. So, yeah, it's a chronic thing.
What? No, it's not.
We might have to find, you know, a ringer for you then. But, you know, why not, you know, come out to an event this year and live it up and do it up?
Well, talking from Kenton Claremont, it sounds like he's trying to get to Utah next year.
That's the word I'm going to speak.
Which is cool because there's a great market here. Guys love it. Obviously, Mountain Ops is here. We've got a great following here and guys that would love to do that kind of event. We ourselves being included into that group. So absolutely, you're going to see the Harbison brothers do something like that.
As far as this year, probably not, just because if we laid out our daily tasks and schedule for the next 3 months and you guys saw it, you would say, when do you eat, sleep, and breathe? You know, so that's the only problem is we wish that we could go to every single event. But, I mean, there's a reason why almost everybody's heard of Mountain Ops, and it's because we're churning this thing.
It's because our wives hate us. That is why people are hearing about Mountain Ops. And then when I tell my wife that I drew a limited entry archery elk tag here in Utah with only 3 points, she first looks at me and goes, What? You? That's $285? I'm like, you don't get it. I drew with 3 points. Like, my life is changed. Like, I have the opportunity. Because, guys, I've never harvested an elk. I don't know how many elk that either one of you have harvested. I've never harvested an elk with any weapon. And so to have this tag now and this opportunity, you know, I've chased elk with Casey for the last 2 years with a bow. And now for me to be able to do this, I'm stoked. And so that's my train to hunt. I've been training to for that hunt, right. Doing these hikes, doing exercises, getting my backpack, doing push-ups, doing things that you see, you know, Kenton talking about to prepare for that real train that I need to do that hunt. So I'll be doing that competition with that bull, and then next year hopefully we'll be able to come out and swing one with you guys or be here in Utah. Hopefully.
All right, you heard it here first. This year, kill elk. Next year, Harbison brother team.
We would hate Bill off of his podium, though. That would be rather unfortunate. Hey, man,
the one thing I'll tell you is this. I've been lucky enough to win a few of these, but I know that this is a growing event, and I will not be able to stay on top forever. That's one thing I know for sure. But I tell you what, I'll be the first one to congratulate the guy that whips my butt on the course out there, because I'm not like some of the guys that don't want to put themselves out there and risk losing in public. You know what? Everybody loses. It just makes you better, right? It makes you want it that much more. So whenever that guy or gal or whoever or team, if I decide to pursue some teams and if I get my stuff handed to me, be it by a Harbison Brothers team or individual, hey man, I'll be the first one to shake your hand, because I know what work I do to put in for this stuff, and if somebody's going to beat me at it, I can only imagine what kind of work they're putting in for it. So just kudos and props, and everybody's helping the movement. So that's what we're here for.
We're all the same team.
That's
right?
It.
We're all the same team.
That's it.
That's so well said, and I think that speaks a lot to this kind of movement, what you guys are pushing at, you know, Mountain Ops, what Wilderness Athletes said, what all the Train to Hunt guys say. It's that it's nobody's negative in this, you know, small little universe that the hunter-athlete thing's kind of starting to encompass in the hunting industry. And I think the rest of the hunting industry could really use some of that attitude.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with positive attitude and positive outlook on things, that's for sure.
Except for the trolls.
The trolls can go back in their caves and under their bridges. We don't need you. We don't want that. We want people, and that's, you know, and I'll address one thing is, you know, for anybody out there listening to this podcast, you look at Phil, you look what he does for his regiment, and a person can get very distracted or seem daunting and say, I can't be Phil. I can't do what Phil does. You know, I see what he does in the gym, what he does on the mountain. I can never do that. And that is so negative. That is so wrong. That is, you can't think that way. Even though we are all on what we like to use the term conquer levels, we're all on different levels of how we're conquering. The most important thing is like Will, you were saying before, you became too comfortable and unsatisfied with who you were. You did something about it. You started small, whatever that was, whether it was walking, whether it was hiking, whether it was doing the smallest things and compounded over time, it provided an incredible, massive result of you're better physically fit, you're happier, all of those things. And so for people out there, don't be discouraged. Don't think that you can't be one of those guys. You be who you are and you be the best who you are for yourself, because that's going to make a world of difference in your life. And by doing the small and simple things, it will make the biggest difference in your life. So,
you know, it's like, it's like some people might not be able to walk a mile right now. But if they start with a foot today, 2 foot tomorrow, 3 foot the next day, eventually you're going to get that mile. You know, before you know it, you'll be at a greater distance than you thought was previously achievable because you took it little by little, one step at a time every day. And that would be my biggest advice for anybody who wants to get into fitness, who wants to get into this, you know, fitness lifestyle, is set those little goals and chunk it away a little bit at a time.
Absolutely.
All right, you guys are on the same page on that one.
That was, yeah. You see that? Can you imagine that in a train to hunt? We'd just be like, sink on the course, like, what are these guys doing? It's crazy. You know, Casey and I are only separated by, well, let me ask you this question. Who's older?
I'd say Jordan looks older.
It's not because he's uglier.
Oh, okay. You know what? And I'll take that. Phil talks about, like, hey, if anybody ever took that from me, you know, I'd congratulate. Casey can congratulate me because he's actually the older one. And in the last 3 years, people have been thinking I'm older, and it's only because I finally started growing facial hair.
Yeah, that probably is. So you do have the darker beard coming in.
But we're only separated by 15 months, so we're extremely close. We only missed, like, Irish twins by, like, 3 months or whatever it is.
Oh, man, that is.
But it's, and you know, it's interesting, and I'll tell you, you know, we've talked a lot about mountain ops, and we've talked about kind of like where we came from, who we are, what we're doing. I want people to kind of understand maybe a little bit about who Casey and I are. And Casey is, let me ask this question to you guys. Phil, how long have you been hunting?
My dad first took me in the woods when I was like 11, I think. I think that's about the first time I went with him. The first time I pulled a hunting license, I was just before I turned 14. Well, I was 13 and a half. 13, so 23 years.
23 years?
Yeah.
And then, Will, what about you?
I'm you know, really long time veteran myself, about a good 3 or 4 years.
Okay. This is great. You know why? Because this is Phil, and this is Will.
The good-looking one. I got it.
Take that all day. And the reason why is, you know, there's a lot of guys. What's cool about our industry and what I love about hunting is, for me, my brother Casey has been hunting as long as Phil has, you know.
Basically since I was a fetus.
Yeah, since he could pick up, really, I mean, since he could pick up a bow and know what to do with it, Casey's been hunting. Our dad has raised us in hunting in the outdoors. It's been a part of who we are. And I kind of grew up more in sports. I was more into basketball and athletics. And so I put a lot of my focus there for years while Casey was out in the backcountry hunting with my dad. I would go with them. I became their good luck charm. And they would take me, but I didn't even have my hunter's license. I never carried a weapon. And it wasn't until about 7 years ago that I finally got my hunter's license. hunter safety license. And then it wasn't really, to, like you, Will, it wasn't until about 3 or 4 years ago that I really started getting active in the sport. And the one thing that I found interesting is, as we started this company, a lot of people would say, well, you probably shouldn't divulge that or say that because then people won't respect you. And I was like, who cares? Because this is who I am. I think I can relate with a lot of guys because I don't care for the guy that wants to be negative to the guy who's just getting into the sport, just starting and trying to get a feel for how to do it. I mean, we should be reaching out and helping that guy figure out how to become part of this and how to share it with more people because of how amazing this industry is. It's my brother who reached out to me really and brought me into the fold, if you will, and helped me to become passionate about this because I'm so excited now as we've started Mountain Ops and done all of this. I'm so excited now to share this with my son. My son, Peyton, he's three. And he thinks that dad, every time he goes to work, he now says, I'll leave the house and I'll say, all right, son, I'm going to work. We'll see you. Dad's going hunting? You go hunting? No? Because one time this year I went to South Dakota for my very first turkey hunt, and I told my son I was leaving to go to work to go hunting in South Dakota, and he just thinks dad hunts all the time, and I think that's cool because I don't, but that'd be nice.
Great.
I just tell everybody else. Yeah. So that's kind of where my passion now is. And we talked earlier, you know, Will, you posed the question, or excuse me, Phil, you posed the question as far as, you know, how did you guys make that risk? Why are you doing what you're doing? And I know we're kind of coming back to that by me bringing this up, but if you're going to do something with your life and you're going to be a part of something or put yourself in some situation, whether that's a job, a career, or a hobby, you want to spend your time wisely because you only have so much time in this life, right? And the thing that I've begun to learn quickly is as I've kind of dialed back and stopped doing sports and focused more on hunting and the outdoors, as it's become more a part of my life with being an owner and a founder of this company and helping to be a product of the product and helping others to become also a product of this product, I've now learned how much my life has changed, how excited I am. And if you're going to do anything in your life, you should do it, and you should never do it if you're not passionate about it. Bottom line, because I think that's such an important part that I think we've kind of forgot to mention, which is, yeah, taking risks is difficult, and you should, you know, the risk and reward is there, but don't take that risk if you're not passionate about what you're going to do and what you're going to take a risk on.
That's
it. So
if you're not happy, you know, you're probably the one holding yourself back from being happy.
Yeah.
You know, change it. It's up to you. Go change it.
True.
We're running short on time here. Honestly, I'd love to run this for another couple hours, but I know some of us got to get home and we're getting in trouble. And you know,
oh, yeah, that would be me.
No, me too. My fiance is waiting, and I still gotta have dinner. But you know, if you guys want, you know, we would love when you guys do a drop zone thing, if you want to come on, announce it on the podcast, or, you know, when it does come out, come on and talk about it on the podcast. We'd love to have you guys on again. You know, I think I speak pretty safely for Phil and I both when I say.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, you know.
Cool. Yeah, we definitely love, or maybe when we have some more, I will say this here, we do have some new products coming out.
There you go.
In the very near future.
There it is. Keep an eye out.
There it is. So wait, before we close anything, I think I have to bring this up, which is I think Will owes me at least 2 rolls of toilet paper.
Come on now.
Can you imagine what the world would be like without –
I didn't want to say it, but I thought you were right.
Okay. You know, and my prayers have been answered because I prayed to Google and it provided me with an answer which said Garth Brooks is unanswered prayers. That's all I'm saying. I'm looking forward to whatever I'm in you know, the spoils of life.
You just send me the address to the Mountain Hops and I will send you 2 unused.
Emphasis on unused. Better be unused.
those put tape rolls better have your face on. That's all.
And it's going to be the soft stuff. Now, I don't understand this, and it's a little off topic, but for some reason, the guest bathrooms in our house has the softest, best toilet paper you ever had. And then you come into my bathroom, and it's like sandpaper, the kind of stuff you see at the road stops. I do not get the theory behind the guest gets.
That's a sign, man. Mama's telling you something. That's a sign.
A little too much time in there. That's my office.
Better you're using too many squares.
Yeah. You portion. Come on, it's all about portion control, you know?
I'm baby wipes. Baby wipes, man.
Dude, you want comfort. I want to be able to have
Listen, guys.
You guys are awesome. We will come on here anytime to come chat with you guys. Seriously, you guys are fantastic. We appreciate you letting Casey and I come on here and you know, share a little bit about who we are and what Mountain Ops is and why we're here. So thank you guys so much.
Hey, it's our pleasure. And before we go, next week's guest will be Trevin Stoltzfus. This Saturday night premieres his new, I'd say it's a hunting show, but actually I think it plays more like a film. Phil and I have already had the opportunity to watch this. It's called The Ibex. And they're putting it out Saturday night. I think it premieres like, do you know, Phil, 6 or 7 o'clock?
6. I'm not sure if it's Eastern or Mountain Time. I'm sorry. I don't know 100%. I think it's 6 o'clock on Saturday.
I think it's 6 o'clock Eastern Time. I'm not positive on that. But, guys, I'm going to tell you right now, this is going to be something you guys want to watch. He's done an amazing job taking a hunt and making you feel what he feels on the hunt, you know, really presenting you with a story and some history. It's more like an old Discovery Channel like Planet Earth episode kind of. That's almost what you feel like. It's that good. Like, I love those things. I don't know about you, but it is one of the best hunting film shows, whatever you want to call it, I've seen in a very long time.
I agree. Now check it out. Looking forward to having Trevin and Jordan Casey. We appreciate it, guys, and we look forward to the next opportunity, like Will said. So good luck with Mountain Ops and your future and the hunts this year, man. Good luck on that elk hunt. And also, I don't know if you got anything else, Will.
Yeah, also stay tuned. We should have a video coming from our buddy Matt. Matt, he made for us. I think we'll run it on his site and our site. He did a little cooking video. It's a really cool little thing. Check it out. That guy, you know, I could watch him read the phone book. Just an entertaining individual. So check that out. How about you guys? Anything you want to plug here?
Close with this, dude. Your attitude will determine your altitude.
That's
right. So have a good attitude and a good altitude no matter what.
Conquer your unknown.
Conquer your unknown.
Well said. Right on, guys.
You guys are awesome. Have a great day, guys. Thank you so much.
All right. For Natural Born Hunter, I'm Will Bradley. Thank you for listening. Wake up, chase your dreams, repeat.